The Mazza. How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm feeling great.
I know. You're so impressed I dragged you away from the TV for this, aren't you?
Oh, very impressed.
Oh, not as quite as impressed as you are to have a porn star for a mother.
Oh, yeah. I was impressed to find that out.
Oh, well, you're not proud of your mama?
I like the money.
Actually, because you and I have had a bit of a journey since this whole, you know, I've started sex work and then porn and all that sort of stuff. And I know you've really battled with your internalized stigma around the sex industry. Don't look at me like that. Okay, these are the proper words that adults use when we're talking about it, okay? We're not just saying, I got issues with my mama being a hoe. This is internalized stigma from society about your mother's sex work. Okay, big words. Feeling all grown up?
I don't like big words.
That's okay. It's okay. We do this with a bogan twist. So, as I was saying, we've had a bit of a journey through this in, was it October last year at the Australian Adult Industry Awards? And I've just won Best BBW because, gotta have the curves, which in itself was like beautiful and touching. And thank you, everybody that voted for me. I'm like, But I text you to let you know you'd won and you...
You won, I think you mean.
Oh, yeah, me won. Yeah. Old brain going, okay, remember?
Okay.
And, yeah, and you messaged back that you were proud of me.
All right, that's a big achievement, I guess. I don't really agree with everything that you do, but to make an imprint like that on society... That's a big thing. You always said that you wanted to make a difference somehow, and you did that. So, yeah, I was a bit proud.
No, you made me a bit teary, and then I was like going, oh, everything's been so worth it. I've made her proud. Teared up a little.
You are so shameful.
Oh, you loves me.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay. Radio. Am I allowed to love you just sometimes then?
Yeah, I'm a bit of pain in the ass sometimes. I think that's fair.
Yeah, and not in the anal way.
Mom! You're terrible.
Terrible, Muriel. Okay, that's another old thing people think too. Okay, radio. I'm showing my age. I'll shut up.
Yeah, Mom. Old.
Yeah.
You were around when the dinosaurs were around.
And you got a feel for those dinosaurs, especially T-Rexes. Like, how do they reach their dick? Those short little arms.
Who the fuck thinks of that? Only you think of that. That's concerning.
Why not? T-Rex has got to get some self-loving too.
I don't think animals are quite the same, Mum.
Dolphins masturbate.
Okay, that's something I did not need to know. They look so beautiful and cute. And now all I can think about is how the fuck does a dolphin masturbate?
Will they find...
No, I don't want to know. That was like literally like... What's the word? One of those...
Rhetorical?
Yeah, I didn't actually want to know. You're going to like ruin how beautiful they are for me already. I didn't even know dolphins actually are dicks. Well, I mean, they got to reproduce somehow, but I don't really see it. Yeah, it's not like...
Just all out in the ocean going, no, you can't see me getting it on. Uh-huh. Sucked in, land dwellers.
Okay, then.
So, dear darling daughter...
Mala.
Grew up in a small country town with small country influences. And then you boarded for high school, going to a Seventh-day Adventist high school with also limited, maybe the right word, ideals towards sex and sexuality.
Limited was, that's being a bit light. I mean, I remember when I came out as bisexual and they put in a rule that even the females then had to be a Bible length apart. Other schools, it was always like girls and boys had to be a rule length apart, but we go into a religious school here and they tell me they have to be a Bible length apart. And then I remember one day getting caught hugging my girlfriend. It was just a hug. And I got yelled at by the teachers and called in and everything. And I ended up breaking up with my girlfriend because I couldn't deal with the hate from the school alone. And it was horrible.
That sucks. And it really sucks that in this modern day and age, you know, that's happening still in high schools around Australia. We're such a wealthy and educated country. And you're not that old. You're just a widow one. Well, no, not a widow. You're a young lady, I should say.
Lady. I have you as a mother. How can I be a lady?
Okay, true that. Yeah, I'll give you that one. So, yeah, but you being only 20, just a wee whippersnapper. Compared to old mum. That's really not that long ago at all.
This would have been like year 9.
Yeah.
And that this happened, it was my last year there. And I think that's what tipped me over for going, oh yeah, I'm going to go stay with mum for a year after that happened. Because I was like, I don't want to have to pretend to be or hide a bit part of me, at least, even. Yeah. It wasn't like I was pretending, but like hiding it.
Yeah.
Or could say you could, I was pretending to be straight after that.
That's one of the biggest things that I struggle with that I have to circles that I have to mix in is having to hide myself. I'm not ashamed of my sexuality or my work, and having to hide that is really hurtful and really soul stifling suffocation. So yeah, no, that sucks.
Yeah, it does.
But I've got one question.
Yeah.
Okay. So this Bible length, was it a large print Bible? Was it one of those little mini pocket Bibles or what? You know?
It was the usual Bible size.
The usual, oh, well, God, then they're even going standard, like, blech. They can't even do it interesting.
You concern me. That's all I can say. You just concern me.
Bring out one of those, like, old school medieval, beautifully illustrated with all the, you know, huge-ass Bibles. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, we didn't have any of those. We just had the normal ones.
You didn't have anybody going, stop, wait a minute, somebody fetch the Bible. We need to measure the distance.
Well, when they first brought in, we were smart asses and would bring out the Bible to lunch with us and just put it in between us when we wanted to give a friend a hug. We'd still give him a hug, but it was in between us.
I bet you they were excited to see children finally embracing the Bible in their lunchtime. So seeing as you had that more sheltered upbringing, shall we say? Like, as much as having me as a mum, you probably weren't as sheltered as most kids, admittedly.
No way. I knew, like, way much more than the other kids growing up. I know way much more than my sister even now.
Well, yeah, your sister is only 10, so...
Yeah, but to think I knew everything before her age.
Well, both of you, how much information I've given to you, I've gauged your maturity rather than your age, because age is just a number. Your maturity and your personality, I think, dictates when you're ready and mature enough to know things at certain stuffs, if you will. Yeah. So, but myself also, having always lived in a small country town before I moved 10 years ago to Melbourne, I didn't have the language or the understanding, and these were back in the pre-internet days, or should I say when only rich people could afford the internet, us poor bogans. No, we know I had no internet. Yeah, I didn't have the knowledge, the language, the anything really to be able to make a decision to go, right, I'm going to raise my children in a sex positive and body positive way. I just knew I didn't want to hide shit from my kids, that I wanted to be real with them. So as much as I was more open with you than the average parent, then how I raise your sister that's 10 years younger than you, I do that with a definite intention for sex positivity and body positivity. And hopefully I'm doing a better job of it this time. I hope. I'm liable to make mistakes and stuff it up somehow. But I hope. The hope is there, right?
Yeah.
So do you feel that sex education you got in school was in any way adequate?
No way. When I'm boarded from a young age, so you weren't really there, like... You always told me things younger than my teenage years, when I was going to be sexually active and all that. But when it came to my teenage years, when I actually needed that info, I was like, no, what the fuck am I doing? You know, I went, like you said, I went to Seventh-day Adventist school and we didn't learn sex education. I went there till year 9. We learned about the body and that was about it. They didn't teach sex because sex wasn't until you're married. So you didn't need to know that now. And so we never got taught that at all.
Yeah. I think that's one of the areas where I could have done better as a parent, was me thinking that I had taught you so much as a child that when you reached your teen years that you would have retained what I taught you and not need refreshers as such, or really more in depth. But then until I started sex work, I got to admit my knowledge around STIs and everything, that wasn't in depth either. Now, oh my God, I'm a bit of a walking encyclopedia. Walking encyclopedia with pages missing because my memory's not the greatest. But, you know, encyclopedia nonetheless.
Yeah, no, that's true. You've always been, but like as soon as you did learn about STIs, it was always like more in depth of an STIs. You're always like, now my Cindy, come visit me every 3 months and I'll take you myself. And she goes, even if you're not being sexually active, just to keep up with the routine of it and all that.
Like, we went on a nice little mother-daughter trip, as we often do when you come home for a visit.
Yes.
Yesterday, we had our little mother-daughter STI testing together.
I got a nice big bruise from that too. She was savage.
Not savage. I'm just not prepared for our tiny ass veins that we've both got.
That's true.
That's always a bit cute how we always go get that done. I know our doctor thinks that's really cute how we get that done together.
Yeah. She was like, oh, you're in here together again. I'm like, yeah.
It's like doing porn as I do, to be in test for porn, your test can't be any more than 14 days old. So I'm there every fortnight getting tested. And, you know, I often take your sister with me for testing. Well, not her to be testing, just, you know.
Yeah, I'd be really concerned if she'd be young.
Yeah, just a little bit. But, yeah. So she can understand and learn that taking care of your sexual health is your, you know, it's responsible, it's the right thing to do, and it's perfectly normal to go and have these discussions with your doctor and to have your test done. Do you think that, like, if you had been able to see me getting tested from younger, do you think that would have helped you be more comfortable with the process?
No,
because you don't like needles.
Oh no.
But yeah, so hopefully that's a help to her as she grows to be, you know, proactive about taking responsibility and stuff about her body and stuff, because we use all the big words here.
Says you that was just going on about and stuff.
And stuff.
Such big words, mother.
Oh, aren't you proud?
Oh, very.
I'm edumacated.
Yeah. Like that. Edumacated.
So, as I mentioned, we're both from a small country town. Well, I'm farm raised and Maz is town raised. And I suppose we both identify as bogans from the bush a bit.
Yeah, that's for sure.
She says with her filler and her do I say it right?
Feeler.
Sorry.
Filler. It's a bit everyone says it differently. It's like with the debate with Nike and Nike.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
Okay, right. Yeah. Stand corrected or educated. One or the other. But yeah, so we're both bogans from the bush, and I've been living in the Melbourne area for 10 years now. So Melbourne has had a civilizing influence on me.
A little. You're still like weird and a bit dero.
just a tad. But I've learnt big words now.
You were always smart though. You always knew like bigger words.
Yeah. Just I had no garden for me to bloom in a small town, in a small country town. Whereas here I discovered the kink community and the sex worker community, and I've just been blooming all over the place. To sunshine and flowers and personal growth. Oh my. I saw those eyes. I saw how you looked at me, young lady.
Oh my.
Hey, I'm a Wizard of Oz girls, okay? You know, some girls are Disney princesses, you know, and they're like, you know, I'm this movie or I'm that movie. I'm Wizard of Oz, okay?
I don't think I ever sat there and went, I'm this movie.
No, you're not girly girl.
I like my makeup and my hair, but I also like to be a tomboy too.
Yeah. You're like bogan tomboy with extra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like my extra. I like my glitter and my sparkles and all that sort of stuff. And I'd still like my trackies though and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So on your face, you often look like one of those like YouTube influencer, you know, makeup people. And you're like, you're walking out with this face that's just like, oh, mwah. And then you're down to like, you know.
It's always a crop or a boob tube and trackies or jeans. And then now I've got my TNs.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they used to be Adidas shoes. But, you know, joggers or sneakers, whatever you call them, of some branded sort. There you go. Yeah, man. I'm in the house.
That's shame. They call it more like lads and lasses these days, mum.
Oh, okay, righty. I'm behind the times. Please forgive me.
I don't want to be called a lass. So if you ever call me a lass, I think I'd be like, kick you in the ass.
Crochet. No, you're not. You're a good girl. You don't touch that stuff.
No, I've always been good. I never stole. I never touched hard drugs. None of that stuff.
Yeah, good girl.
I didn't get into that lifestyle. I saw my friends do it and they could do it around me, but I wasn't partaking.
So just bogan extra. Yeah. When I'm a full-fledged dag.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I'm adorkable.
Adorkable.
Yeah. Dorky, but adorable. Adorkable.
If you say so.
I am a master at daggy dad dancing.
Dude, you just can't dance in general.
You hurt my feelings. My heart. It hurts. So we started this podcast because, as Maz raised to me one day, that she could have done with refreshers when she was a teenager. She could have done with more of the talks when she was getting to the age to be using the information I had given her. So here we are having the talks that your parents should have had with you. And Mazza takes that moment to pick her ass crack. Tasty.
You're not supposed to share them with her. They couldn't see that. You could have been at least quiet, Mum.
Have you ever known me to be discreet?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Except for when it comes to work, because work is all about discretion.
Yeah, it's the only thing.
Yeah.
You didn't even tell me for a while.
Hey, you
I went off at you when you told me. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that day. It was a driving along in the car, as many important family discussions happen in a car. And I remember you just going to me one day going, Mum, are you a prostitute? And me just like being quiet and you going, oh, you are, you're a terrible liar.
I think I was joking. I think it was honestly, I only said it as a joke. And then when you went quiet, I was like, what the actual fuck did I just accidentally find out? I was like, I mean, I was so against it. I think you remember, I remember you telling me that day is, like, a lot of your customers were married men. And I think that's what made me go, ew, that's disgusting. And you, like, turned around to me and you went, well, a lot of these men aren't sleeping with their wives and haven't been for a lot of years. Or their wives aren't willing to try stuff in the bedroom that pleases them. And I guess now I just go, I don't want to know kind of thing. And just we leave it at that. And that's the best way for us to get along with it.
Yeah, and you have gotten a lot more understanding. I remember one time I was getting ready to go away on tour and I'd had all my toys out, cleaning them before I went away, and you walked inside and seen them and just absolutely lost your shit at me and then stormed outside. And yeah. And this I should point out, like, we don't live together. Maz is an adult and actually lives in another state. So, you know, she's walked into my house with me just preparing for work, as far as I'm concerned, and lost her shit at me. As you can imagine, I wasn't impressed about being spoken to like that in my home, but she took herself away to calm down. Now when she walks in my home and if I have stuff out that's work stuff, she'll just go, can you put that away? I don't need to see that. Which is a far more respectful discourse.
I think one thing was, gross, I don't want to see that many toys. And my mother.
So I should, be monogamous with my toys? Just me and one toy. And me and one toy should have a
very Oh, don't. Oh, yuck, your toys. I don't want it. That's what. Ugh. No, some of them scare me. I think that's why.
Why do they scare you?
I don't want to. It's gross, Mum. It's so big.
That, dear, is because.
No, I don't want. No, you've explained some of them, Mum. It's gross.
I'll use big words.
Yeah, I won't understand much of that.
That's because, dear, I'm a large insertion specialist.
Okay, no, can we not use big words ever again? Because now I know what that means. I know I'm not that bright, but, yeah. I can gather from those words, and I don't. I can't. Yeah.
Did you just vomit in your mouth a little?
Yeah, I did a little.
I can still remember one of your friends for opening a box.
Oh my gosh, no. I remember that too.
Yeah, she opened a box and she's just like freaked out. And then she's up to me. She's gone, I didn't even know they came that big.
She came to me afterwards and she's like, she said the exact same thing. And I was like, dude, I don't want to know. You saw it. I didn't have to see it. That's my mom. Too much.
Too much?
Yeah, that was too much.
Yeah, a whole lot.
And then she's gone to me after. She's like, it was so big. And oh my God, how is that even possible? And I'm like, oh, I don't want to know. I really don't.
Whole lot of woman needs a whole lot of toy.
Ew.
So what do you feel I should have... What talks I should have had with you, do you think?
I don't know. You did, like, when you found out later on that I was sexually active. But, like, I think earlier on, before I was even sexually active, you should have been more, like, aware me of, like, STIs more often. And being safe, even though I am on contraceptives, that contraceptive doesn't save you from STIs and all that sort of stuff. So I think that would have been something that could have been more helpful. Was, like, yes, you did give me those talks later on, but earlier.
Yeah. Because I'd always said that I wanted you always to feel comfortable to have sex at home as a teenager, and that I'd much rather you be having sex at home as a teenager while you're experimenting, because I knew that you were in a safe place, a clean place, that there was condoms in the drawer, and that you could call for help. But I had never intended on you boarding for high school. And when that changed and became the situation, I never really adapted my thinking to take how that new situation into account would affect you experimenting sexually without your mummy just the next room.
Yeah.
Oh, you seem so excited. Oh, we could have tapped on the shoulder, on the wall going, that's it? You go get in there?
That's disgusting. This is why I don't have sex at your house.
But I also remember when you were at boarding school and us talking about you using condoms, and you admitted not you weren't using condoms, and I said to you, like, why the hell not? Like, you know the importance of condoms, and you were telling me about how expensive they are, and I had never considered that.
They are expensive,
and while they might give them out for free in the cities and stuff like that, you live in a small country town. They don't give them out.
No, you have to go across the border into another state, because we're on the border and that. I don't know anywhere, honestly, in my town. You have to go across the border to go get them. It's like, I don't have a license. I'm not gonna drive all the way over, like, walk that far. And that's like a 20-minute drive. Imagine how long that was to walk just to go get free condoms. I was like, no.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, honestly, it was guys going, oh, I don't like condoms. And that too.
Well, yeah, and I think that's something that we need to start having these conversations about sex with our youth, to empower them not only with knowledge but with the confidence to say no when they're experimenting and learning and stuff like that. Teenage years are hard enough without being equipped with the knowledge to protect yourself.
Yeah. Also, like, I don't know, kind of completely different subject, but like, I always thought, like, I would always, like, make jokes that you would hear, like, people would say sex words and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, I was a teenager, it's not going to do anything. But, like, even if I'm myself now, it's not like I do go out and do crazy sex or anything like BDSM or anything like that. It's not what I'm into. But I still find myself having a safe word in case, I don't know, it hurts or I'm not in the mood. I've changed my mind, going, you know, I don't want to do it anymore. And I think that's something in youth that we should encourage too, is having safe words, because there is times where I've said no and they thought, oh no, you're just doing that to, you know, try and play hard.
Yeah.
And then I've had to come out and go, no, this is my safe word, and if I say this, it means no more.
You have a safe word. I'm so proud of you. That's my girl.
It's pineapple.
It's so sweet.
That's why.
Make me proud. Oh, look at me. I'm allowed to be a proud mother, okay? I'm allowed to have gotten one thing right. I hope that was my influence. Well, I don't care whose influence it is. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I remember at your 18th.
Oh, don't even bring up that night. I don't think I've ever gotten... Actually, I have gotten that drunk before, but, like, that's the most drunk I've ever been, is that night, and sometimes before I've never been more drunk than that.
But you did have a very epic piñata at your 18th.
Oh, my God. My friends loved that piñata.
So, me being the lovely, considerate mother that I am, I made Maz a piñata, and I filled it... Well, yeah, there were some lollies in there, but it was mainly with condoms and lube.
They got used that night by so many of my friends too. It was gross. That house is like, everyone's fucked all through that house, man.
But they were pet protection and they didn't have to walk across the border to get it.
That is true.
Yeah, and I actually had several of your friends come up to me and I going, oh, thank you so much, I'm set now. It's like, yeah, you can go have fun.
I bet you that was all the boys.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But hey, these are still positive interactions. They're still positive things. These are good things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as you were saying, like, that it's often boys that pressure to not use condoms. So to have boys coming up to me and saying, yeah, I'm here now, is a good thing. We can make these interactions positive and send the positive message. Woo-hoo! Yeah, I know. I told you, I'm good at dad dancing and you know, daggy, embarrassing parent stuff. And in general, it's a skill of mine, you see.
A skill. I think it's more like, I can't think of the word. A skill more is like the opposite of a skill, like you're horrible.
I love you too. I'm feeling the love.
I'm glad.
Yeah. This is a beautiful moment for both of us.
Yeah, very.
Yeah. So, in light of this first episode being just a general get to know us and just some general sex stuff, before we start getting into future episodes, we'll be based roughly around a topic each episode. And I say roughly because we all know my memory's a bit skew-iff and I get distracted easily and squirrel. So, as I was saying, in light of the fact that this episode is just pretty basic, get to know us, some basic general sex stuff, I went around the girls at work and asked.
Oh my God, you didn't.
I did. I asked them. There's two questions I asked them. There was one question was, what do you wish you could tell your younger self about sex that you know now that you didn't know then? And the other question was, what do you wish your parents had told you about sex?
Right.
Do you want to have any guesses what they might have said?
Honestly, I don't really know your workmates.
Well, this is true. You should come sometime. You're an adult. You can legally come to work. And I do mean come to work as in pop in and visit, not pop in and work.
We already know I'd never do that.
Yes, this is not the industry.
If anything, I'll do like those things everyone does online with their self pictures of their feet.
Oh, yeah. Foot fetish is such a huge thing. It's actually one of the most major and most common fetishes there is. I've
honestly thought of giving it up just to give me money. So I'm like, well, you don't have to see any of my privates. You can't see my face and tell who I am.
You know, it'd be cute.
What?
We could do mother-daughter foot pics together.
Yeah, then you steal my money. That's my money.
Oh, okay. Radio. It's going to be cute. Pearls of wisdom given to me from the girls to work to share with you and share with other people in the world that we can start this positive sexual revolution of the we're not even noughties anymore. We're in 2020.
I don't know what that's classified as.
Either.
I think we'd just say 2020.
Yeah. Positive revolution of 2020. Let's go with that. Okay, so. Are you prepared for these words of wisdom straight from the hoe's mouth?
I don't know, I'm kind of scared of what might come out of their mouths, to be honest.
Actually, all the girls I work with are really nice, so don't worry. I'm probably one of the most feral girls, though.
You need to pause for a minute and go, one of the most.
One of the most, okay? You know, but one of them, okay? Okay. But they're all lovely people. So here I am. Should I put in my Yoda face? If they aren't willing to talk to you about sex and what you want, is that somebody you really want to let inside your body?
Guess not.
That's
actually a good point to make. You don't really think about seeing it that way, do you?
No.
Not too often. No,
I hadn't thought about it that way until one of the girls said that too. And I was just like, because I'm so huge about negotiation prior to, breaking it down to a really simple like that instead of me and my sitting there going, oh, let's have pre-scene negotiation. And what are your triggers? And what are your wants? And what are your desires? And what are your limits? And what are you this and rah, rah, rah. But a simple message. And then me just going, oh, well, if you don't want to talk, then you're just a douchebag. You're going to be a lousy lay because you can't possibly know what I want sort of thing. But that's just a really basic, simple message that just breaks it down so easy than me and my verbal diarrhea that like I'm doing now. Okay. Oh, I like this one because I feel this one is a really not much known one, especially outside the sex worker community. So if you get pre-cum on your finger, don't touch the condom. So you know the difference between pre-cum and cum, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. So for anybody that doesn't know the difference, the pre-cum's that clear fluid that comes out before they actually come. They can come out just when they're getting all excited and go, you're a sexy beast. I want some of that. Dribble, dribble. So that fluid, not only can you get pregnant from that fluid, but you can also catch STIs from that fluid. So if you've got that on your finger and then you go and handle the condom to put the condom on, it's sort of like avoided the purpose of the condom. You've now put infectious substance or possibly infectious and possibly impregnating substance on the outside of the condom. And it's so you need your like your condom and your lube, because lube is important with condoms. Condoms are designed to be used with lewd people. People wonder why condoms break. It's because they need lube. I do not know how they do not give that message out better in society. It's like, oh, here's have a 3D condom. But sorry, 3D. This is my verbal. Here, have a free condom, but don't have any lube. Yeah, that's a bit of a fail. But anyway, the simple, if you got pre-cum on your hands and don't go handling the condom is a really important message to get out there. Go wash your hands or some shit before you put that on you. Yeah. Do something about it. Pearls of wisdom number 3. Don't rush into it. It's not a game.
Yeah, didn't we always already get told that though?
Yeah, we did. But, you know, to be fair, I took all the girls' comments. You know, I said, woo-ha, give us something for the show if, you know, these comments. And I wasn't going to be picky and choosy. These people felt this was important information to share. And, you know.
I just feel like with this generation that it's just totally void. I know 12-year-olds having sex.
Yeah, in my generation, I knew that. I knew 12-year-olds having sex too. And I think that's a real issue in country areas. I don't know how much of that happens in city areas because I'm not real well versed in what happens.
It's younger and younger every day. I know someone, a male, that lost his virginity at 8.
Yeah.
See, stuff like that makes me sick. It's like, how could you be giving your body away so young?
And this is the thing. I think we need education around this and not just the basic, you know, the wormy goes into the wormhole sort of education. We need education about risks and learning how to say no.
I think people also need to learn to know when they are mentally ready to, not just because, oh, it's the age when everyone else is doing it or all my friends are doing it. You need to make sure you yourself. I know I wasn't ready. I know I freaked out afterwards and I cried after my first time. And I was like, oh my God, what did I just do? I was like, I can never get my virginity back now.
See, virginity, and I get what you're saying, because this is something that society has perpetrated, and it's well and truly perpetrated to it. It's like ingrained in everybody. But myself and some others believe that virginity isn't something you can lose as such. It's not like your handbag. You just put it down and go, oh, damn, I lost that shit. Yeah, it's just an experience. So... yeah, I'm trying to move away from using that sort of language myself. Totally whatever language you want to work for you. You do you, I do me.
Yeah.
But, and this show is, you know, like I said, we're bogans. We're not politically correct. And my heart, you know, I have all the politically correct feels, like equality and equity, which are two different things. Yeah, and all those sorts of things. But yeah, my mouth spews bogan. So...
yeah. I think there's another thing that, like, especially for female girls.
Yeah.
Your first time is not going to be like the movies at all.
Oh, my God. Movies create such an unrealistic expectation. I think that's something that people need to be aware of. Porn as well. That porn's not real.
Yeah. I saw something on Facebook recently going, yeah, about that, saying, yeah, it's not real. Don't be looking towards this expecting your sex life is going to be like this, because it's not. Maybe you have a partner that's like that. But it's very rare.
Yeah. And it's so much of it is fake. It's like you don't watch an action movie and see a building being blown up and go, oh, yeah, that's real. That's how you blow up a building and I'm going to go and blow up a building now.
Yeah.
Same thing with porn. So much of it is fake. And it's such, it is growing, and we're getting more and more ethical porn and more female producers and directors and company owners, studio owners that are slowly creating a change. And the fact that people make a lot of their own content now, you have online creators creating their own content, is also slowly changing the industry. But as a whole, generally what most of you're going to find out there is fake as shit. Don't watch that shit and go, oh, hell yeah, I can go do that with my girlfriend. No. No, you can't. Or boyfriend, yeah. You know, partner, whatever. You know, no, you can't. These are trained professionals that we train our bodies to do all sorts of fucked up shit and make it look like, oh, that was just so easy. And you didn't see the months of training we did before that to make our body be capable of doing that. You didn't see the preparation that we did off camera before that, or all the communication that we had with our scene partners about what our body can and can't do. And most porn doesn't show lube application, okay? I am telling you now that lube is used on every porn set, okay? So if you ever think that sex without lube is just a given, no. Lube is your friend. Lube your shit out of that. Whether you're using condoms or not, lube. We're going to do a whole show on lube in future. It's going to be exciting.
Wow.
I knew you'd be excited about that.
Yay.
I could talk about lube for ages.
I remember the first time and the only time I've been to a sex shop, you took me and you made me try their lube. And I was like, I don't want to touch it. It's lube. You're like, it's edible. It tastes like cotton candy. And I was like, okay, if it tastes like cotton candy, I'll try a tiny bit.
Yeah. So you did come around to, like, you know, that's my girl. Yeah, I did chase you around the shop with lube on my finger going, taste it first. So
yeah, I think It was scary, Mum. I just walked in there and I was like, huh.
But you had me there to hold your hand.
Yeah. Oh. Not like you don't make things worse and more embarrassing.
More fun.
In your eyes.
Well, just think. Who else would you go to a sex toy shop with other than your mum?
Yeah, no, I don't.
You don't think you'd go to it with anybody?
If, like, future partners, maybe, but
yeah,
that's about it.
Okay, who else is going to make you taste the lube?
No one.
No, nobody else is going to make you taste the lube. Have you enriched your learning about lubes from tasting that lube?
They apparently taste like actual foods.
See? Now you know you can get lube like that. You don't have to have that horrible, tasty, chemically bleh stuff.
Well, they already sell like strawberry flavored and all in the shops, but nothing like those weird fancy ones you're showing me.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of those cheap brands, even though they're flavored, they taste like shit. They don't taste like the actual thing. But you trust your mama. She'd take you to the good lube, right? And the ones that actually taste like the foods they're supposed to. And they're like,
you can send me.
Actually, the fairy floss flavor is one of my favorite. Or cotton candy, whatever you call it.
That's what I said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they don't make that size in jumbo. They don't make it. It only comes in a small size.
Joke. I remember because you're looking for it. And then they were even sold out, I'm pretty sure, or something.
Yeah.
And you're like, are you serious? Like, we'll order more in your... But I have to wait then.
Yeah, I know. I keep, and this is the thing, it's like, you know, being a sex worker, I go for a shit ton of lube. Yeah, so I don't want to buy the little bottles. Already buying flavored lube, you can't buy that in the big bulk bottles. So getting the biggest container that it is, I'm going through that like crazy. It is buying it all the time, so it's not exactly cheap. If I have to go down an even smaller size again, then that makes it even more expensive. God damn it, I want cotton candy cased in cocks. I don't want to have caramel flavored.
You concern me.
Well, there's creme brulee, or there's mint choc flavor, cherry flavor, watermelon, strawberry. You can have cocks of all different flavors.
Oh my god, you said cocked way too much just then.
We'll get back onto edumacating these with these pearls of wisdom from the girls. Protection is not embarrassing.
You know, I never thought it was. You had me on like contraceptive even at a young age.
Yes. And that was always not because I didn't trust you. I didn't think that you were going to go and do stuff. It was that I don't trust other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking after your ass from all the other dumbasses. Oh, this is a pearler. One of the girls at work, her pearl of wisdom she would tell herself is she would tell myself not to get pregnant in the front seat of the car when I'm 16.
That's a bit out there.
Well, yeah, you know, like totally. If you were 17, that's a different thing.
But in the front of the car at 16. So like,
well,
out there.
Well, that's the message she would give to her younger self. So it's not really out there because you're inside the car. It's already in
Wait,
there,
but
really.
Did she get pregnant in the front of the car at 16?
Yeah.
Well, that's what you mean, but I thought you were saying like not to do it. I get you now.
Yeah. You've learnt now? I know you're older than 16.
But yeah, I was going to say, I'm almost 21. I haven't made that mistake yet.
Yeah, yeah. That's your mother's positive influence on you.
No, that's you forcing me to get the rod in. No, I ain't taking care of no grandbabies.
Mm-mm. This mama got too much else of her own shit to be doing before worrying about grandkitties.
Yeah, anyways.
The next pearler, sex is not love. Which yeah. seems pretty obvious.
Yeah, but like when you're talking to the young teenage girls, it's not.
No, it's not. And I think that we need to definitely have better education around that. That sex and love are two very different things.
I think any age from like up to 16 even, I reckon personally, females think that sex is love.
Mm.
I know a lot of my friends didn't, like if they thought that when they were dating and then they weren't really, what's the word, promiscuous
yeah.
until around 16
yeah.
or something like that. And that's when it did happen. And then they understood
yeah.
sex is sex and love is love, two different things. But beforehand, it was always like, oh, we slept together for the first time and it was magical. And really it was, on the guy's half, it was like, yeah, I slept with my girlfriend and that was it.
I'm trying to think of many people that actually have a magical first time. don't happen. Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's magical because she's got herself all up in this headspace.
That's the thing at that young age is you think it's magical. I look back now and go, like, I don't see if my first time was magical. There's other times where I thought were magical and now I go, oh my God, what the fuck were you thinking? That was horrible.
Mm. See, learning wisdom in hindsight. We don't always learn. We don't always learn the lesson we're meant to learn from something at the time. Sometimes we look back and learn. Yeah. I got my Yoda hat on again.
Nerd.
Oh, look. See, one of the girls here just said something that we touched on before. Don't try to learn sex from porn. That's not real.
There we go.
There we go. Ooh. I like this one. Learn your own body before you learn someone else's.
If you see on Big Mouth, they do teach you that.
Oh, yeah, that showed Big Mouth, that cartoon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd show my sister that. She didn't understand enough of it.
Yeah, that's probably... Yeah, I don't think she has the maturity around
she that. She does, and she doesn't understand it. She just thinks it's a normal cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I tried to inform you, but maybe we'll try a bit down the track.
Yeah, yeah. I think your sister responds much better to conversations when you can get her in the conversing mood. Mm. Yeah, that's probably not the best way to reach her.
You know, it didn't.
No, no. Another one? Sexual health is important. Learn about STIs.
Covered a lot of things.
Yeah, we've covered all that. Yeah, these girls must be psychic or something. Oh, dental dams. That's something we haven't discussed. Do you know what a dental dam is?
I just know when you go and get your mouth swabbed.
No, that's a mouth swabs. That's for your testing. Dental dams are like condoms for girls.
Oh, I've heard of those. Yeah, I just didn't know the name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You spread them out over the vulva. And you don't just stretch them and then go to town, because you can't film shit much then for it. You need to, like, push them into all the crevices, so then you can still get your tongue in there and feel all around and do all the
good stuff. Oh my god, you're giving too much info.
But you're bi, you need to have this information.
I know, but it's just weird coming out of your mouth.
Would you prefer it came out of my ass? I'm quite good at talking out my ass.
Yeah, I hear you in your sleep. From the lounge room, it's not even in the same room, and you have your door closed, and I even have the TV on as well. That's how loud it is. It's nasty.
Oh, this is a good one that you brought up before, sort of thing. Well, we've touched on it anyway. The importance of boundaries, consent, and safe words.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is good. Oh, and no, you can say no.
Yes.
Yes. I think that's something we really need to do that with our youth. You can say no, boundaries and everything, and how to have the confidence to enforce your boundaries and that no. And I think we also need to teach about enthusiastic consent versus consent.
Like, I've had friends told me, like, oh, at first they've wanted to, and then when they're midway, they don't want to anymore. But they think because they've already consented, they can't say no then. Going to them, no means no, whether you've just started having sex in between or, you know,
yep,
whatever's going on.
Yeah.
No, so I think that's something really important, that no matter if it's at before you have sex or in between, you can always say no.
Yeah. So do you have any ideas how we could teach people to be confident to say no, to have that?
I know, everyone's different, honestly. It has a lot to do with the person's personality too, if they're comfortable enough. If they're a shy person, or even trauma victims, and like from in the past, some of them don't. They feel like if they say no, they're going to get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that.
You make a really valid point there, actually.
Now, I've had friends that have told me that.
Yeah.
That they feel like if they have not say no, that they're scared that they're going to lose it or not listen and still keep on going. And that would trigger them even more.
Yeah.
If they were to say no and they kept on going. Yeah. So they just don't say nothing at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they've told me they just lay there, don't even enjoy it then.
Yeah.
And I was like, my mum always taught me sex is to be enjoyed. And you've always said to me, even like slut shaming, that's wrong. You know, it's okay to like sex. Yeah. And all that, so.
Oh, this mama of yours sounds like a pretty great person.
Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay. Another one said they wish they could tell their younger self about periods.
Oh my gosh, don't even get me started on that. You were always so open with me about periods, but I remember when I got my first one. You never told me there was so much blood. I thought I was dying.
How do you tell somebody how much blood there is? Like, they say that...
You should just say there's a lot to not freak out. You just told me that I bled once a month out of my vagina that I would when I was older. That was about it. And then when I did get my period, you weren't really... I remember you just going, oh my God, stop overreacting. And you left me in there in the toilet. And I was like, are you serious? I'm dying here. I remember it was horrible. You came and picked me up from school. I'd gotten it at school. My pants were just fucked. And I was like, Mom, we have to go home. And you're like, why? And I was like, it happened. It was the worst thing ever. It was year six. I was first girl to get it and everything. So I couldn't even go to any of the other girls and ask for pads. I was just lucky. It was just before home time and you were already waiting at the front for me. And I was like, I'm ditching. I remember I ran out like 5 minutes early. I was like, I don't care. You can call my mom and deal with it.
Yeah, I remember. From when you were about 2 years old, I'd get the little diagram that comes in the tampon packet.
Oh my God, I remember this.
Yeah, and I use it to explain all about your anatomy and stuff and everything, and help educate you.
See, I remember seeing a leaflet, and that's it. So all the stuff you taught me kind of went. I got older, and I didn't remember it because I was so young when you did try to be open with me.
Yeah.
About I remember seeing a leaflet. I don't remember anything that was on it though.
I tried.
I remember maybe there was like a diagram of how you insert them.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah. Well, back then, like I said, we couldn't afford something like internet. So it wasn't like I could pull up something on the computer and show you a better diagram. I was working with the tools I had at hand. I tried. Still trying to find a really good book to give your sister, actually, because everything's online. And I'd rather have a book that she can, like, chill with in her own time and check shit out. So
I gave her one for it, Nan.
Oh, did you?
One I brought for myself to when I had more questions. And then when I'd finished reading, I thought she can have it.
Oh, okay. Did you ever end up reading that book I got you about the teen's guide to getting off?
No. I think the title of it alone just was like, what the fuck, Mom? And I just couldn't bring myself to open it.
There isn't that much about masturbation inside it. A lot of it's just...
And I think I might have skim read like little paragraphs here and there.
Yeah.
But I think I've lost it in the move.
Oh, okay. I have a copy for your sister when she's old enough to give to her.
Oh my God, that concerns me.
Oh, it was so good that they actually released a sex positive sex help book aimed at teenagers, you know, for once, instead of it all being blah, 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 blah. So as soon as I heard about that, I pre-ordered you a copy each and gave you one that year for Christmas and put one aside for when your sister was older.
I remember it was a shame when I opened that for Christmas. I was like, really? This for Christmas? Wow.
Knowledge is power. I gave you power for Christmas.
Yeah, power. Okay, then, Mom.
It's all a matter of perspective, really. All bodies and genitals are different, and puberty is different for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen, like, I know you haven't been to Mona itself in Tasmania, which is, like, the gallery of contemporary, like, you know, modern art. And it's got a wall of vulvas. They call it the wall of vaginas, but it's the outsides. It's not internal, so they're vulvas, not vaginas.
No, but I have seen something like kind of similar. There's like this tattoo artist up in Brisbane or Queensland that I follow online, and she's done things where she like paints or casts or pictures, I don't know, something of it, and then like of each different like vagina, and she's put them all up in like one big picture of them, and like you see all different vaginas.
Yeah. So that's like the wall of vaginas in Mona. It's just all castings of all different vaginas and all vulvas. And I think that's really important information to be getting out there, because growing up in an age where in magazines, they was actually legally, they had to airbrush out if you had an outie. You were expected to be tucked in magazines. And so if you did not have an innie where your inner labia stayed nice and neatly tucked away, then they'd have to airbrush your that out to make it look like you had an innie, which I think has created this really unhealthy stigma around having an outie pussy or vulva, vagina, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
And I think we need to normalize difference, normalize that everybody's different.
Yeah.
And one of my friends, her inner labia were so long, she could do cool tricks with them.
I don't know that. Yeah, I'm sure.
Sure. Well, it's fascinating, really.
No.
Ooh, I know another chick. She doesn't have a clitoral hood. Blew my mind when I discovered that. And so then, of course, I had to check it out to explore. How does one look when they don't have a clitoral hood? How does one stimulate that, you know?
I don't want to know.
Well, it's important.
Oh, you just like, oh, you can send me. I had to have a look.
Well, yeah, because I was curious. Not in a like, oh, my God, you're a freak way. As in, oh, my God, that's really interesting. And how does that affect your sex life, not having a clitoral hood? Because, you know, a clitoral hood protects your clit from being overstimulated when you're just walking around. You know, it's got that little layer of barrier. But if you don't have that barrier, what, your clit's just hanging out there to be, like, stimulated all the time every time it gets bumped? Like, I really wish I had asked better questions about that now.
Yeah.
You know, because, like then I'm wondering, how does that affect her pleasure? As in, like, does that mean that she's hypersensitive because she doesn't have a clitoral hood to protect, sort of thing? Or does that mean that she's lost sensitivity because it's constantly getting rubbed and bumped and stuff like that? Which would be really sad if she's lost sensitivity. But only I think about shit like that.
Yeah. That's a you thing to think about.
Yeah, I know, right? But then there's like guys that are circumcised, they say have lost sensitivity compared to guys that aren't circumcised.
I don't know.
Well, I don't have a penis, so.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I don't know.
I can't really talk to that from personal experience. Yeah. So maybe we should do a show where I find somebody that's been circumcised as an adult that can really tell us about the differences between it. I'll have to ask around. I'm sure I know somebody that's been circumcised as an adult. I remember when my little brother got circumcised at 18 months old.
I don't want to know. That's my uncle.
He was so upset. Poor little darling. He just kept walking around, you know, looking. He'd hold out his nappy and gone, gone, gone. He was so upset about it. He was. He was really, really upset. And it was never the fact, it was never the pain that upset him. It was a bit that it was a bit of him missing that upset him. But unfortunately, he had to be circumcised for medical reasons.
Yeah. I don't want to know about my uncle that is circumcised. That's too much detail.
Oh, well, do you want to know about your grandfather?
No, more family members. I'm good. Thanks, Mum.
Oh, well, okay. Well, kills me not to tell you stories. You know that.
I don't want to know.
Oh. Speaking of foreskins, the next thing is personal hygiene. Oh, my God. Men. Oh, men. Please pull that back. Clean the fuck out of that. Oh, I see so much dick cheese at work.
I don't want to know.
Oh, my God. It's nasty. They're nasty. It doesn't matter that we're putting a condom over it and then we put them through the shower first and everything. No, it's nasty. As soon as we've seen dick cheese, then we're like, we're a whole less excited to spend time with that person. It's like, nope, yuck, ooh, that's basic hygiene. Yeah. Ooh, do you know what smegma is?
What's smegma?
Dick cheese.
Well, you always just call it dick cheese. So.
Yeah, I know. But if you like, I know you're probably not a Red Dwarf watcher. Like, I know you're a stoner, so you know, but no, you might. They call each other's like, you know, as a put down, call people smeg heads, and that's why smegma heads, dick cheese head.
Right. This is all stuff that just went straight over my head.
Oh, rightio. So I can call you smeg head then?
No.
Oh, okay. This is another good condom fact to make sure that your condom is in date.
Yes, always checking.
Yeah.
I know I went through mine ages ago and ended up throwing out half of them. And then the other week I had to throw out all of them.
Yeah. Because there's a thing, I always get you like bulk lots of condoms. So because Maz lives, like as we discussed, small country town, there's nowhere to give them, that gives them out for free and they're bloody expensive. Every time I visit Maz just about or she comes home for a visit, I send her home with a big doggy bag. Go.
It's always 100 condoms, like, or about that.
Yeah, it's always a bag chockers full of condoms. And I'm that person that when you go into the Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic, they've always got baskets and baskets of free condoms and lubes out. And I'm there just stuffing my pockets full, going, I take these home for Maz and more for Maz and more for Maz and more for Maz.
Yeah.
I hook you up. Yeah. Just nod at me right here.
Yeah. I'm not sad alone.
This is another good one. Contraception is everyone's responsibility.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know also one of the girls that told me about that one has said, pointed out that especially teenagers, if the girl's saying, oh, I'm on contraception, you don't need to use condoms, use a condom. That girl wants your baby. She wants your milk, your sperm spunk. Yep. Because unfortunately, and I've seen this a lot growing up where I grew up, yeah, there's a lot of teenage girls, they don't come from happy homes and they want somebody that will love them no matter what. So they get this idea that they want a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So baby will love them.
Maybe so, but doesn't mean you should have one yet.
No, it's not good for anybody. Like, and I was a young mum myself, a teen mum. And so I'm not going to diss anybody that is a teen mum, but it's not easy. It's hella not easy. And I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
That's why you got me to have rods in so early. Even I'm 20 now. 21 and she wants me to go, she's going to make me go get my third one in.
Oh, hella yeah. You got to live some life first, girl.
No, I was like, yeah, I'd love kids, but I agree with Mum. Not now.
Not yet. No.
There's still stuff I want to do.
Yeah, exactly. If you compare my life compared to my siblings that didn't have kids and still don't have kids, they didn't have them young, and they've all traveled overseas and had all these life experiences that I never had, because every day of being an adult, I've been a parent, and a broke ass parent at that. So yeah. So I'm all for holding off living some life first and everything before you have kids.
Yeah.
Another gem that, you know, we've touched on a little bit, but not a lot, that one of the girls has said is to have sex with yourself before you have sex with somebody else. So, because if you don't know your own body to know what gives you pleasure before you go and start having sex with other people, you're not going to be able to guide them into what feels good for you. Mm-hmm. You're far more likely to have a painful experience and not just a bad experience, because you don't know your limits of your body.
Yeah.
And just all in all, like, you know, you got yourself forever. Yourself is always going to be there for you. You make love to you and go, mm-hmm, you and me got it on. We don't need somebody else, before you go bringing somebody else into that equation.
Wow, you really concern me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You gotta love yourself. You gotta love yourself before somebody else can love you. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Do you have any questions yet you'd like to ask your mama?
Nope.
Nope. What do you think is the most embarrassing moment sexually about me?
I don't know. Just when you have friends over and I'll be like, Mom, go drop me somewhere else. I'm not being here.
Oh, you don't want to listen?
No, I always make you drop me somewhere else.
Yeah, I do. You do always make me drop you somewhere.
And if my sister's here, I take her too. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I have friends to the house very often.
No, it's not.
No.
It's like once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
So it just so happens that I end up being here. And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, because it's quite often, you know, it's holiday time. You're quite often here. It's like, God damn it, I've been waiting 3 months to have a personal sex life, and now I can have it because it's school holidays and your sister's visiting her nan. It's like, yay! And then you're here going, yeah! And I'm like, fuck!
Now let's make a deal. Drop me here, or drop me to the train station so I can at least take myself somewhere else.
Yeah. So I think that's another thing that it's hard to negotiate as a single parent with teenage kids or young adults.
It's more you don't want to hear that disgusting noise coming out of your mother. It's sickening. Like being a child and like hearing them noises coming out of your mother. You're like, nope. I know she does that, but I don't need to hear that.
I remember you being a little kid and coming up to me one time and going, Mom, can you wait until after I go to sleep to have sex? I can hear you.
I actually remember that too. That was like back from where we're from, eh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 I remember that.
Yeah. Little tiny housing commission house.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been an interesting journey for us.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So what would you like people to get out of this podcast? For people that, you know,
I know. I just want younger people to be more aware and informed.
Yeah.
And not to be sexist, but especially females that are all think it's all just love. It's not.
Yeah.
Just that. I was very like that myself. And I look back now and go, ew, what were you thinking? Like, that's disgusting. And that, so yeah, basically just, I want them to be informed and knowledgeable about everything.
But yeah. But I think that's a good girl. No, this is a good girl. We're going to change the world and open eyes and edumacate one listener at a time.
Yeah. Yay. With your edumacation, Mom.
My edumacation. Yeah, my Bogan edumacation.
Yeah.
Listen to me. I know shit and talk shit.
That's for sure.
So I'm going to aim to bring you this podcast once a week. But Maz lives in another state, so that's not going to be happening every week. It'll be a case of how often we can catch up, how many episodes we can record when we do catch up. I'll pump them out at once a week, probably-ish, and then there'll be gap. So I'm sorry about gaps, people, but distance is a bitch. Australia is a big country.
I won't even have Wi-Fi for a while, so no. I can't even do anything.
No. We broke us. Yep. Well, you broke us. I'm living the rich life compared to how we used to live. Like, we got Wi-Fi and Netflix and...
Yeah. Hey, I pay for the Netflix.
Well, yeah, I know. You know, we do a shared thing. But
you pay Disney, I pay Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. And I paid Netflix for years. You know, it's not like I've never paid the Netflix.
That's no, they took it off.
But
yeah.
But it's been your contributing to the adulting and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, but yeah, with definitely the quality of life lived now is very different to when you were growing up.
I don't really remember much growing up.
Yeah, oh, that's good. You don't remember being broke ass? Sweet.
Well, so. I do remember being broken food wise. I can't eat sausages still to this day. Oh, my God. The only way I can eat sausages is on the barbie.
Yeah.
Any other way is just wrong.
Yeah, well, they were cheap.
I know. That's why when my sister comes to visit, that's what she gets fed. I can buy the good stuff for me and get cheap sausages for her.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things, like, you know, that sex work has improved our family's qualities of life a lot more. You not living at home obviously don't benefit as much from that. But, no. Yeah, you do get kickbacks that, you know, in that I'm able to help you financially a lot more than I would have been able to otherwise.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to help me at all if you weren't.
No.
Like, so every now and again I'll call up, be like, I need some extra money, please. And you'd be like, okay, but you owe me babysitting. Yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah. Or you, I always love your reaction whenever I say, no, you appreciate that money. I had to suck a lot of cock for that.
I think that's about my reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Chris, ma'am, you're disgusting. And I'm like, well, it's true.
Well, it's still gross.
But those are the things you'll find about career sex workers, because I think there needs to be an understanding that there's lots of different types of sex workers, not only between full service sex work and porn performers and photography, like, you know, sexual photography sales and all that sort of stuff, because some people just do photos without film and things like that. And there's lots of different types even in each of those types themselves. And you have, like, with full service sex workers, you'll have your street workers that are just trying to survive. And then you've got survival sex workers that don't work on the street, that they work from in calls or brothels or out calls or whatever. And then you have also career sex workers, where this is their actual career. That they're like, gung-ho, I'm going to make a business of this. And those women have incredible knowledge. Those women will know more about sex and STIs than your doctor will, unless they're a specialist in that area. But the average GP, I know more about STIs than the average GP, because it's just not taught, even to doctors. And that's fucking bullshit. So, Mazza.
Mother.
I remember we drive along in the car one day.
Oh, my God. What did I do now?
And you came out to me as a slut.
I remember that too.
Mum, I have something to tell you. I'm a slut.
Oh, my God. This is shame. No, because everyone was going around town calling me once. So I was like, okay, I'll own it then.
And then that led on to me coming out, well, sort of. Me having a conversation with you and going, well, that's okay. You know, because I thought, yeah, we'll take this moment while we're being open with each other. And I'm like, okay, I'll be honest about things too. And I went, I'm kinky. Do you remember what you said to me?
Do I really want to know?
No, you were like, I already knew, Mum. Facebook outed you. God damn you, Facebook!
Is that your other account talking about?
Yeah.
I remember when I first saw it and I was like, I swiped and I was like, go away.
This, like, my profile pic's like a picture of me tied up and gagged.
To a bed.
Yeah.
And everything. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's even worse, that bed you see in our house. And I was like, oh, my God, that's disgusting. That room is violated.
Yeah. Suggested friends. Your mum is a kinky bitch. Add friend.
Yeah, no, thank you. Then when I saw, like, people I knew that had you as friends, I was like, you disgusting cat.
Hey. You know, there's a lot of friends of mine that are very supportive of me and my sexuality.
No, but these are people my age.
But they could still be supportive too.
Males.
They could still be supportive.
This wasn't supportive. We all know.
Oh, I'm sexy. We all know that.
If you say so.
Oh, excuse me. I do say so. Just because you have problem with fat bodies.
I have a problem with fat bodies. They're just not my thing.
Mm-hmm. You remember you're 18?
Don't even. That's disgusting.
And I was like, whoa. So, yeah, can I hook up with one of your mates at your 18th? And you're like, no, I'll never forgive you. And I was like, but. And then what happened?
One of my mates tried cracking onto you.
But, you know, your mom got it.
To be fair, he was a couple years older than me.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah. So is the person I'm dating now. So I hope you've managed to bear with us for our stumbling for our first episode.
Yeah, a bit of stumble here and there.
Stumble, tangent, crap it on, verbal vomit.
Yeah, a bit of this, bit of that.
But we will be back next week, if I have my ass into gear with editing, with My Mum Went to Sex Camp.
Oh.
Yes.
I remember babysitting for this. And you'd come back every night and tell me what was going on. And I'd be like, what? You're like, well, I can't tell you everything.
Yeah.
Because it's a safe space. So I can only tell you things about myself.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I don't want to know things about yourself.
Well, guess what? We get to do a whole episode about it.
Okay.
Oh, won't that be enlightening?
This is traumatizing. I think, I'm going to need a whole lot of vodka after that. Just be like, oh, hell no.
So, this has been fun, getting to have a little chat with you, a little mother-daughter chat. We should have these chats more often.
Oh.
I'm Honey.
And I'm Maz.
And you've been listening to...
My Mum's a Porn Star.
I love a good podcast as much as the next person. I, however, hate having to find new good podcasts. So each episode, I am going to recommend a podcast that I happen to enjoy that hopefully you might enjoy too, rather than having to go through 50 million lists of top podcasts about crap. So this week, I would love to tell you about a podcast called I Think My Fridge is Haunted, which is about all things creepy, from ghost hauntings, well, obviously ghost haunt, demonic possessions, murders, you know, true crime, aliens. It's like got everything you could think about. Conspiracy theories, the works. So it's actually one of the hosts is one of my friends from my burlesque life, my burlesque world, one of my little social groups or alter egos. And I got to say, I first started listening to the podcast just to support her because she was a friend, and true crime and all that sort of shit is really not my jam. And it sucked me in. It's actually really, really good. And yeah, check it out. I sure as shit was surprised how much I really enjoyed it and started hanging out for the new episode each week. so maybe you will too. So I Think My Fridge is Haunted, created right here in Melbs, just like our podcast. Woo woo, go Melburnians. Check it out.